fill out that form there, boy. Mm-hmm. And you fill it out. And you just put it back there. Maybe.
You know, you was in the room anyway.
I know.
You need some paper.
Corey, right now, you could blindfold me. And I could walk to some four or five residences in St. Michael, which you would say is tongue. And these, they're youngsters. They're raising rabbits. One showed me he has over 75 rabbits. All the New Zealand long back. Everything. Mm-hmm. They've got layers. They've got broilers. And this, I think, is the first step to diversification.
But one, get back to the solution. You were talking about the person in there not giving the
Now the solution.
How you deal with that person?
Now the solution is maybe that youngster should first get into an immersion program. A program, you say, well, look, we can carry him up by Corey and let him do some work there, let Corey evaluate him, or somebody who has been in the landless
But how do you get around that? Because I deal with the person that they have to go to. You say that older person setting the ways.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that person? You retrain them, you send them home, you pay them a little bit more, you cut the pay, you penalize. What to do, sir? What you do with them?
I think you get in a comfort zone and you just relax there because the fellow...
But that's the problem. What is the solution? What do you do with that person?
You can't... I don't know if you could send them home. But what I'm saying is if you could get the youngster showing
something
that he has... Okay, he has been immersed in the program and he has come out well and you have evaluated him. Then you open the door. You got to try it.
But I don't think Corey is saying that the youngster is the problem.
Corey
is
saying
the person that who's processing the application is the problem. The reality of all this is if you go to a transition period where you set clear guidelines and set objectives based on what you want to achieve, you move away from that archaic way of doing business, then the thing becomes very seamless after.
What are you going to do with the court system then, Inder? You can send them home?
No. I am not here.
Long protracted.
I'm not here to speak to... We don't want to get into whether or not you can send home somebody.
Yeah,
what you want to speak to is the processing, the application processing. How do you identify the land that you're going to use? Who is it going to be used by? You identify those people as well. You then set the selection process in place. A very seamless thing. You're going to click here, click there. You answer the question. The information pops up. You get a response in 24 hours. You can even, there is even instances where you can do something. Because if you have a whole digital arrangement for the way government is going to function over time, you can even get instant responses in some instances. Because if you're sure that you've had the experience, you've dealt with this before, et cetera, what it is that takes to qualify you. Now, when you're doing that, you're eliminating all of those stumbling blocks, Corey, that you would have had to experience when you put your thing. But unfortunately, at the time when you did it, it was a different time from what we are facing and what we plan to go forward with.
That's why I'm saying if you go on in a sort of a trainee apprenticeship, you walk up the avenue, you come up the steps, fill out this form, all right, I am going to send you straight away. I'm going to send you tomorrow to such a farm where you're going to be, if you're into poultry, rabbit, or whatever crops, and then you're evaluated. And you move into your area. That's
I think listening to you guys in terms of scientific and technology is somewhere we really got to go. When I get to dealing with the whole issue of the Ministry of Agriculture and in terms of the structure there, I think we're going to have to touch on those issues. I'll read this WhatsApp and then we go to the lines. This one says, "Dear Brass Tats, we have to kill the monkeys. We are not squeamish about killing chickens, sheep, goats, pigs, or cows. I've had to replant cassava 3 or 4 times this year. Please kill the monkeys." Good afternoon and welcome. This is the People's Parliament and you are live on the air.
Good afternoon, sir.
Right, good afternoon.
I'm going to the panel and yourself. I'm going to bring some specifics and then I have 3 questions. Specifics. Agriculture around the world is successful in countries where labor is exploited, Latin America, China, Asia, places like that. And alternatively, in Western Europe and North America, where the government circumvents a lot of international law and subsidizes it. And those products end up in Barbados at seemingly low prices because they're subsidized in the 2 methods that I described just now. In Barbados, when we have elections, in priority, we select a prime minister. Then there's the Attorney General and the Minister of Finance, Economic Affairs. I think that agriculture comes next. My question to the panel now, three questions. One, how will the established parties, I believe that the established parties will get the majority of members in parliament. How will the established parties accept a member of parliament from the new parties into their cabinet? And two, why aren't the newer parties coming to the public with a concept that should we get a few seats, we're going to join one of the established parties, provided we get important positions in cabinet? All the parties seem to think that they can win. Historically, there's no evidence that a minority party will form government in Barbados at these coming elections. And the secondary parties or the minority parties are not telling the public what they're going to do should they win one or two seats. And if at all, they will go to the cabinet and go to the winning party and say, look, I'm going to join you for a seat in agriculture.
Mm-hmm. That's it, Colin?
That's it.
Okay, I like that. I'm actually going to read this and comment on that. Let me give you an example of what he said. This one says, part of the problem with the protracted processes in civil service, it is done to encourage bribery. Why wait months or years for a benefit when you can get it done in hours or days with an envelope under the table? So we'd like to see, yes, let's say for instance we have an example of a minority government. I could see Mr. Granville Phillips saying, give me a seat and I can put in this whistleblower legislation when Solutions Barbados have said you got to pay 10 times the bribe. That is a good example of using a system like that. But I'll let you guys respond after we take some more callers. This is the People's Parliament. You're live on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Okay. Good afternoon and welcome. People's Parliament, you're on the air. Hello, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey, and your guest.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah. Now, my contribution is sugarcane, right? Mm-hmm. Around the industry, this would be a minor the sugar industry, small farmers, and the monkeys. Now, the first thing I will comment on, which I had last, is the monkeys, because somebody just spoke about it. I think we can eradicate and eliminate the monkeys because they serve no useful purpose. We down here in the West Indies or in Barbados, we don't use monkeys what they're supposed to use for as research. They just run around the place and wreak havoc on whatever they can. And they're so smart. They'll go and let's say the mango tree and they'll bite every mango and drop it to the ground. And I have been told you can't, as I was suggesting, to poison them. Some harsh, but it's true. We kill all kinds of animals that we can eat. But the monkeys cannot be poisoned because I heard they don't eat anything off the ground. Now, the next thing is, let's talk about farm labor. I think if we have, talk about small farmers first. Now, we need to help the small farmers who have these lovely vegetables, especially the carrot, the lettuce, and the cabbage, where you pass and see them, all exposed to the road, all for anybody's taking. And these farmers cannot be every place at the same time, because more often than not, they haven't got the staff. Now, I did talk about this before, and I'll say it again. They need help. And I think until we can come up with something appropriate to stop predator larceny, let us have some fencing erected, electrical. We ain't put in 500,000 watts to kill anybody. Enough to stop you in your tracks. You get me?
We get you loud and clear, ma'am.
Right. We ain't killing nobody, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have no right in the person.
That's a little tickle.
And the other thing, exactly, and the other thing about it is, we would not be putting people's children's lives in danger, because children don't go out at night, and never mind, they don't play in the playing fields, because children scarcely play anymore anyway. Mm-hmm. Now we get to the sugarcane industry. And I am not going to talk about sugarcane as much because everybody has talked about that. But we need to have a proper farm labor program, which is run efficiently. Like we have Bajans leave here to go overseas to the family agriculture program. Mm-hmm. They have proper housing, accommodation, and they're not treated like if you're here to reap the crops and go home back to the West Indies and come back tomorrow morning. We are going to have a system where we can have them registered, and you're allocated to this plantation, and your boss is supposed to give account of how many men he has on his plantation. Therefore, we can keep track of these people, and we let them know, we're not going to bring you here in 6 months' time, and we don't want to see you again. You will be coming back again on our family labor program, because we cannot get the local people to get into the reaping of the canes as we used to one time. What we are seeing now that look, that should look like canes, they actually, in truth and in fact, look like exactly this, quote-unquote, the last crop. All right?
Yep.
Now, if we do not have a sugar cane industry, apart from the sugar, which we can import to sweeten whatever we have, we cannot have a rum industry, a Barbados rum industry, that's made from sugar that we bring from overseas. Now, we're telling lies there and then.
Molasses.
And we have been known for bottling rum since the 1730s or something like that. So what I would suggest, that those people who are into the rum industry, they have so many plantations, right? And say that this is for my rum producing business. We ain't selling nobody any. This is for our rum. And we are going to have everything on down there we need. We're going to have a factory, we're going to have a refinery, and everything. So therefore, we can always maintain this rum industry, which not only help us, the owners, but we help the industry of Barbados. Sounds like I'm talking foolishness again as usual.
No, you made some sense through the presentation, and as sure as the panelists respond, they would actually be able to give you some feedback. So I want to thank you here. And this one, I like this suggestion, and you could respond to this as well, panelists. If a person steals from a farmer, he should be forced to do 1 year community service on a farm. So I like that, because in this way, we don't have to pay $59,000 to house him at Her Majesty's pleasure, but we actually get some work back out of that person, he or she. This one says, we are not serious about prey larceny. We pass the guys selling sugar cane on the side of the road daily. Where are their cane grounds? So Sam, do we get some reaction from the panelists before we go back to the telephone lines in terms of some more hardcore specific policies? I'm on page 2, so I feel a little better today that we're actually talking some things I can actually make note of in relation to solutions. So I want to talk now about this whole idea of the ministry and how you, as a government member, a minister of agriculture, how would you restructure the Ministry of Agriculture? I remember that it had some terminologies that used to be pointed towards that particular ministry. Now, I've had conversations with the now PS and the former PS, and they've told me things that have made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. One of these things is the fact that you have a staff that is so well-trained. I believe the Ministry of Agriculture is credited having the most masters and PhDs than any other ministry in the island. But he said, this is the former PS, that he had to bring in a lot of external workers, a lot of consultants to do the work that people are paid there to do. Again, that is at the expense of the taxpayers. I do not believe the PS or the minister or anybody dips their hand in their pocket to bring in these people and actually get them to do the work that people there are already doing. We talked about the process and so on. So we cannot reform agriculture in Barbados unless we address the Ministry of Agriculture. That is the central body actually organizing the arms and legs and hands of agriculture. So how would you restructure? What would you do with the Ministry of Agriculture to make it more energetic, which is opposite of what it is portrayed as now?
Corey, personally, I don't think you should have a Ministry of Agriculture as such. I know you're going to get some lashes.
No,
but
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I think the ministry should be found in two other ministries. The Ministry of the Environment, make it a lot more exciting. And then into the Ministry of Economic Affairs. Because basically, agriculture impacts very, very forcefully on the environment. You're going to be diversifying. What are you going to diversify into? Is it going to be suitable for our ecosystem? If you're going to this, how would it upset that? Things like pesticides and weedicides and runoffs and damaging the marine life. So it has a very it has to be very scientific. Yes, agriculture has a scientific vector attached to it, as well as it is an art, because there's some people you just pass here today, you see a rocky surface, you come back in 2 months, 3 months' time, it is flourishing. So it is an art as well as it is a science. And when we're coming now to dealing with WTO and FAO and quotas and subsidies and getting out there and fighting, I think that other arm should be found in the economics ministry. So that's one of the first things I would do. You got to get into things like DNA experimentation, hybridization, budding and grafting. And
I like that, but let's stick to the ministry. We're talking about structure. Yeah, and I like that
because I'm going to put
the ministry already has. We're talking about the structure. Right. The ministry already has a stigma attached to it in terms of the ministry that, you know, it is not the sexiest ministry. Mm. It has been known that ministers have been appointed there and felt as though it was a demotion or criticism or something. So I think according to David Gill of UPP, not having a ministry of agriculture, actually have it merged, that can actually
make it exciting.
The stigma. What says the other panelists? What says the other parties?
Well, the saying that you've got to make the connections between what is viable and what is relevant to the people. How it is that the Ministry of Agriculture ties into the foundation of life in Barbados? Because if you look at it carefully, it connects up with everything, the economics, mm-hmm. the
environment,
everything, the environment, mm-hmm. water, land use, the coastal mm-hmm. management, mm-hmm. Water retention, just management of resources generally. My way of looking at government is that it's supposed to facilitate and initiate projects that are going to be to the benefit and uplift of the people of the nation.
Right.
If you have a position where you have to struggle to get through it with anything.
Right, so how are you going to fix that? That's what you're looking at. What are you going to do with the Ministry of Agriculture?
It's to link it to what the people will actually be interested in doing, what the ministry wants to be doing, how it is that you can coordinate the connections between the understanding of the people and their purpose in the scheme of things, how it is that the ministry then.
But no, what is you can do with it? I understand that this is the end result. How do you get there?
To get to the end result?
Yeah. Do you have a ministry set up there? There may be people in there eager, but it might be the process, it might be the system, it might be I don't know. What do you do with the people, the structure, the ministry?
The actual people making the decisions.
Yes, the ministry itself.
They have to understand the vision.
Yes, they have to. How do you make them understand?
By education.
Mm-hmm. So you do retraining or something?
You do retraining, you do
motivational speeches.
You have to first of all establish the vision mm-hmm. so that the people who are making the decisions can apply their understanding of that vision to what is needed on the ground. If there is a disconnect between that understanding, then you're gonna get the level of frustration that we experience currently, where people just don't see any sense of purpose in doing the things that are necessary.
So you got to re-motivate.
You energize the people who are making the decisions, who are identifying the, mm-hmm. the programs and the policies and so on that will be implemented that will make the difference on the ground.
I can tell you what scares me about what y'all are saying in relation to this. Dr. David Eswick, he's been known as the pit bull and the guy that, you know, gets things done. He's going to kick down the door, make this, and he goes into the Ministry of Agriculture. And the history is there. Mm-hmm. So how do you restructure this thing called the Ministry of Agriculture? No, let me hear from somebody else. I think I get where you're coming. Somebody else. You're the Minister of Agriculture tomorrow, Mr. David
yes.
Waldron. What does a solution Barbados government do to restructure this thing?
Corey, part of the problem in the Ministry of Agriculture is for years we've had technocrats within the Ministry of Agriculture who leave Barbados and go to places like Israel and places that have a lot of good ideas and good technologies and stuff.
Correct.
They bring this information back, or maybe they don't. But what happens to a lot of information? There's within the Ministry of Agriculture, there's no continuity. There seems to be a disconnect between the technical people or the persons who go and learn all the fancy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the problem. How we fix it?
You got to fix it by making sure that those persons buy in
How do you make sure that we want the specific how
training.
We
training?
So you go with
training. You got to retrain. They have to be.
I picture these people going to training. They got Sheridan, you know, sip some tea, eat some scones. You know, people flick charts, bringing some people. You know, we have here and stuff, and they talk, and they have the all the letters behind the name and so on. These people go back to the ministry and do the same exact thing. That's my vision. But we can talk more of that when we come back. This is the People's Parliament. 1:90. Don't you move. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Starcom Network and Cropover City would like to say a big thank you to our sponsors and partners of Soca Ignition. Our platinum sponsors, Mount Gay Rum and Remy Martin 1738, Tua's Whiskey, True Scotch Live True, and Heineken, Open Your World. Our bronze sponsor, Flow, always connected, always faster. And our associate sponsors and partners, Absolute, Barefoot Wines, Bailey's Original Irish Cream, G4S, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, Island Ice, JP Chenet, KFC, It's Finger Lickin' Good, Nation News, Sunny Biz Transport, TicketNation.bb, and Hot 95.3 FM. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. Start your Soca engines and rev it up with Soca Royalty.
Planning an event can be as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Choose a business that offers a solution for event and patron management with Ticket Nation. Check. 2. Work with a friendly and professional team that eases the hassle of gate management and event reconciliations. With Ticket Nation. Check. 3. Find a platform that helps you sell more tickets and support stronger bonds with your buying audience. With Ticket Nation. Check. It's simple. Ticket Nation is the best choice for ticketing and event management. We give you a range of printed and online ticketing options as well as patron management solutions that are seamless, transparent, and efficient. Give us a call at 430-5510 and let's get started.
You're listening to the People's Parliament. We are on the home stretch of this program. This one says, Corey, it is about the way people are treated in the public service by the seniors. And officials actually reach the point they don't care about the people anymore. We go over to Indar, where I want to get your perspective on this whole idea of how we can restructure this arm that will be responsible for implementing all the good ideas and solutions we've placed there on the table on today's People's Parliament.
Thank you, Corey. First and foremost, in dealing with any restructuring program, you first need to establish whether or not, one, is there a need for restructuring. I don't know if that's the case at the Ministry of Agriculture. I have never been there and done that needs assessment, so I can't give an answer on that. What I would say to you is that there are two fundamental pillars, and I've added an additional two. The two fundamental ones are social and economic pillars on which we must drive a sustainable agricultural sector. And then you have the health component and the environment. If I have to take those four fundamental pillars into consideration, and I'm a minister of agriculture, then I want to look at my team to see the skill sets that I have on board. And then I would want to then look at the objectives that will be put in place to achieve all the elements that would help us in terms of social development, in terms of creating healthier foods for our children to eat, in terms of the economic spill-offs and benefits, and in terms of how the environment is impacted in all of this. If we have those skill sets on board, then we set about to determine how we are going to utilize them. We will then take the ministry to make the ministry a more suitable fit for what we are hoping to achieve in terms of the benefits to people who may have an interest in agriculture but don't have opportunities, the benefits of people who are at school who are looking for some profession but not sure what they want to get into, and so the ministry can help in terms of programs that it put out to get create an awareness for people who may want to get into agriculture, how we then use agriculture to promote healthy living in terms of foods, the preparation of foods. And all this has been done to some extent under the FAO. The FAO has a program ongoing as we speak, where they speak to how we are going to feed our nation and the preparation of food, the type of foods we produce, etc. And then the economic spill-off in terms of linkages between agriculture and other sectors, including our tourism sector, but things like we've all spoken about today in terms of the value added, the whole concept of agro-processing, et cetera, et cetera. And then our environment, the sort of manures that we may use, how we can use plants and other plant materials to create manures and put systems in place for the treatments, etc., for things like hydroponics. And so therefore, this is not a simple case of saying, I will restructure a Ministry of Agriculture by doing A, B, C, D right now. These things, we have to know what, why we are doing it and what we are going to achieve from doing it.
My only problem, and I'll let you respond right away, is that I believe that if you're coming to governance, coming to government, you should have a lot of that information already. You should be researching, you should be talking to your people on the ground, people who are working, and know exactly what the position is, because that is how you draft policy. So when you bring a manifesto, the excuse could be that you don't really know what it is going on when you put that manifesto before Barbados.
And I'll respond by saying that if I bring a manifesto, I'm taking into consideration the pillars that I've identified. And then, therefore, I cannot then speak to whether or not we have the skill sets there until I get there. If we need them, we have to get them on board. If we don't have, if we have them there, we got to find how we're going to utilize them. You see, many consultants, Corey, over time would tell you that you cannot offer advice to any entity, any business. You cannot come up with a solution without first going in doing what they call a needs analysis to determine what is going on there, what can be a possible suitable fit, and how we go about achieving that. When we speak to restructuring, we have to be extremely careful, because this is not something that you pluck out the sky. This is something where you actually go and identify problems, interacting with actual people who are there, and they themselves might have their own suggestions to offer. They themselves might feel as though they are not part of a system and that they would like to participate. And all these things you need to know beforehand before you can identify any solution at all.
I agree with everything that you said, but I still believe that when you're coming forward offering yourself, you should have some basic information. Ulu Waldron says, Corey, you need to start at the top. The restructuring needs to start with the ministers and senior people who are interested in making progress and not just getting free trips at the expense of taxpayers. Having done that, you probably don't need to do anything else. That is where the key change really lies, with people who have power to make the change. Brass Stats, the People's Parliament, good afternoon and welcome. You are on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I am fine. You know, Corey, I've been in this country for almost 18 years, and this People's Parliament is not saying anything I haven't heard in the last 18 years. Nothing new. All we do is talk, no action. A long time ago, these crop thieves should have been taken care of. Every vendor selling crops downtown should have to be licensed, registered, licensed, and keep accounting books. We need to know where they bought their products from. And that goes for supermarkets, too, because a lot of stuff is going through their back doors that belong to we, the people who are growing. As far as I'm concerned, personally, this is how I feel. Yes, we've been encouraged to grow our own fruits and vegetables. But what's the point? It's cheaper for me to go into a supermarket and pay price gouging prices for my vegetables and fruits than to grow them. All my sweat and labor goes in for some thief to come in the middle of the night and steal everything? No. They have to do something. At least give us permits to get a damn gun. Do something about it. And don't kill the monkeys, because I'll tell you something. When the monkeys come up in my tree, and they haven't been back, they came at the beginning when the fruits were first ripening, and all I said is, he looked down at me, I looked up at him and said, take your mangoes, don't tell your friends, take the mango and go. The monkey took the mango and went.
All right, I don't want it to be said that you haven't brought anything new as well.
He didn't take 300. He didn't take 300. He took one, and he went about his business.
Let me ask you a question. Over the last 18 years, have you heard about let's use drones to monitor the agriculture and different things like that?
Yes. Yes, I've heard it for 18 years.
No, I don't think drone technology has not been available that long. But I just wanted to point that out because
we have innovative people that were thinking these things long before technology came along.
Now I want to agree with some of what you're saying. The whole idea taught, and that's why Indara and myself we had it at the beginning in relation to consultation and talking and engaging and so on. Do not expect action from a call-in program though, from a talk show. The action has to come after, and I think it would have been important for people to come and say, this is what we've done, this is what we've tried, these are the results. That is, that speaks to action.
Hold on, Corey. Hold on 1 second. We've been talking the same talk, and these guys are experts at speaking, but we need action now, and there's never been any action. I mean, we shouldn't have a problem with crop fees now. We shouldn't, or it should be very minor.
I agree, because you know, we need to implement a lot of the fancy things we've been talking about. But on a program like this, tell me, what are some of the things you would like to hear?
What would I like to hear?
Yeah, music? Tell me.
You mean as far as agriculture?
No. I mean in terms of we shouldn't be talking, it should be fixed, and we should be playing some music. That's what I think. But what do you think? What should we be talking about?
I think we should be talking about how to get Barbados sustainable again by having our own fruits and vegetables and not having to.
But that's what we've been talking about.
We do, you know. But we should have done it by now. We should still be talking about that. Come on, 20 years later, we're still talking about the same stuff.
Yep.
Huh?
And I understand it's been much longer than that. So
well,
they were talking about Ivan before you came here.
You know, listen, Corey. Mm-hmm. If I have a child who comes home one day with a bad habit, I nip it in the bud right away. I say, this will not be tolerated in this house. Tomorrow I'm going to call your teacher and see if you're behaving this way in school, and I'm going to tell her how to deal with you because we are going to nip this in the bud right now.
Okay.
I don't understand why we can't deal with society in the same manner. Enforce the laws. They're there. They're already there. These men are talking hot air on your show.
I'll let them respond to that, but thank you very much. Yes.
I'm Corey. Solutions Barbados is here to make that difference. The reality is the past 18 years or 10 years or 20 years, Solutions Barbados never had an opportunity to make a difference.
But her point will still stand, because if Solutions Barbados now enters the fray and continues to talk about all that has been taught to both with the last 20 years, then you're put in that same category. But let's talk about something new. When we're talking about nipping it in the bud, let's talk about some marijuana. Let's talk about some hemp. Let's talk about what your party's position. I know some people getting some hot water for talking about marijuana and so on. But we got about medical marijuana. We got marijuana tea. We got all types of things in relation to where are we going in the debate as the world. I know we like to be, and we ain't playing catch up here. What are the parties? I can start with the other way around this time. So we started with you, Derek, from the Barbados Integrity Movement.
Well, you know, Barbados is well known internationally for the quality of herbs that it grows. The things that grow in Barbados are the best quality. The interesting thing about hemp as well, I mean, this, you know, this whole issue is fraught with emotional a furor that keeps people very confused as to what is right, and there's a moral stand and all of these kind of things. But the thing is that hemp is recognized to be a very viable product. It has a very quick turnover. It has incredible applications on all kinds of levels, not just with the in terms of the agricultural support that it gives to the land, because it improves the quality of the soil. The fact that it can be made into all kinds of things, you get all kinds of plastics and reusable products get made out of the hemp product. The fact of medicinal benefits that are available out of that. I think it is a waste of taxpayer money to be putting people in jail for a joint or a few ounces of marijuana. I think that the idea of putting people to work, if they offend the society's mores and principles, to put them into work to repay the society is a far more practical way of doing things than putting people into jail. And so I would, from the position of the Barbados Integrity Movement, look very closely at the benefits that can be accrued and whether they outweigh the moral outrage that is associated with this whole issue of marijuana and hemp production.
All right. UPP, David Walton.
No, Solutions Barbados, David.
You all the time.
Now,
I'm putting you in another party.
He's welcome.
I can assure he's awake.
Yeah.
In regards to marijuana, instead of we at Solutions Barbados will not run off with the idea that marijuana is a bad thing, and we will not bastardize it. As a youngster growing up, I did some salesman work, and I was selling hair products. And this hair product had Indian hemp in it. Mm-hmm. And truth in fact, it had weed in it. Mm-hmm. So we obviously got to accept the fact that marijuana has good qualities and beneficial qualities to people. And I've watched several documentaries where marijuana have helped persons with various ailments. So reality is that we in Barbados have to come on board, and Solutions Barbados will come on board, has to come on board, and will come on board in regards to, we will assess the value of marijuana to the Barbadian public, and we will do it in a collaborative way. We will do it via discussion with the people of Barbados, because it is okay to say that we can implement or we will change how this herb or how marijuana is looked at in Barbados, but we will be willing to change it with consultation with the people of Barbados. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we are representing the people of Barbados and their interests. So we're not just about jumping in there and saying we can change up things and we are going to decriminalize marijuana. But if the people of Barbados want marijuana decriminalized, we will meet at the round table and we will discuss it. And if they say they want it, it has to happen.
Okay. UPP, David Gill.
I think, Corey, the position of the UPP is, the position on hemp is already known, well documented, several uses, as Derek said. So that's like trying out to rediscover the wheel. And the quick turnover and the economic viability. When it comes to marijuana, medical marijuana, if you look at several of the medications you use for coughs and other ailments, you would see that alcohol is in it. But because alcohol is in it, it doesn't mean that you cannot have a social drink of alcohol. You could have a couple of shots of brandy, a couple of beer. And I think similarly, you should be able to have a spliff or two. I don't think it is any need to incarcerate you and build up the prison population anymore. But if you begin now to be a trader, you're going to look at it differently. Make because there's things that you become a trader, an importer, but then you've got now to fall into another category. And I think, just as how we have an age limit or boundary before you can be accepted to have an alcoholic drink, a little child should not be able to go to a shop, as they say overseas, at off license, and buy beer and take home. You go up when you've reached a certain age, you buy a beer, you're selling it, you have two or three. So you're looking at use, abuse. I've studied virtually every. I did a paper on marijuana as part of my academic training and studies, right? So I have certain private beliefs and credos about the whole thing. You got different brands of marijuana. You got your Saint-C, you got your Vinci, you got your Hydro, you got everything. You know? Mm-hmm. And when you come to Hydro, you won't get a quick turnover. You see everything I told you about earlier on, a fellow goes into things for a quick dollar turnover. The ROTI, the rate of turnover investment.
You get him my production assistant, John Stoke, to it. So let's move along.
Wait, hold on a minute. So before he touched down there, what I'm a little scary about with the Hydro is the additives, the gibberellins that you're putting it to spike it in 2-3 months or whatever. I do not think it is leached out before it is consumed, before it is inhaled. And I think there stands a chance of doing serious psychosomatic damage.
Psychosis. Thank you very much. This one says, what about, we're talking a lot about the cane, and that is well and good, but industrial hemp is the future. Hemp is an excellent rotation crop. We want to go now to Indarweer and get his perspective on this.
I think what I've heard around the table today is that we can all say we are on all fours as far as
hemp, all four people.
marijuana is concerned. But I think I might take away from it all is that I strongly believe that Barbadians have been leading this conversation in many quarters. And I think that any responsible government would want Barbadians to participate in a final decision where this is concerned. Look, we can all talk. I've seen boys at football, playing football, smoking weed. I've seen people driving, smoking weed. I've seen people walking the streets and smoking weed. It is out there. But because it is out there, we should not really fall away from that responsibility that the electorate of Barbados would have placed in our hands. And we strongly believe that any decision going forward will have to be taken by the people of Barbados. The Barbados Labour Party will not unilaterally decide we are the government, so here's what you got, where something like this is concerned. Now, alcohol is there. People are already using alcohol. A decision has already been taken on alcohol. We now have to shift the paradigm. And in so doing, we have to make sure that the people of Barbados are engaged at a level where they're determined whether or not this is the direction we are going to go in. And if so, well, then all the benefits will be there to those who want to use it.
So you're talking a referendum then?
I am talking about engaging the people of Barbados, and wherever that goes, it goes. If it has to go there, then it has to go there.
All right. So we're going to take a break here. I think this is the last break, and then we use the last 18 minutes or so to bring the program to a close. This is the People's Parliament. We'll be right back.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Larry Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations. A brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
When their journey on this earth ends, the memories begin in your heart. Honor your loved ones through eulogies, reflections, and tributes in the family notices of Nation Classifieds. Tributes sent by Tuesday will be featured in the following Sunday's newspaper. Contact the team at Nation Classifieds Fontebelle at 430-5524 or Nation Classifieds Sheraton Mall at 467-2861. You can also see the Nation newspaper for more details.
Okay, I've been asked to warn Mr. David Gill, if he wasn't a chemist, he could expect a knock at 3 o'clock in the morning. A biochemist, he could have expected a call. His knowledge on the ganja and thing, you know, is extensive. But no, anyhow.
Tetrahydrocannabinol.
We take a call. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Same old soup, man. Just warm over. You know what it is.
There's soup with some local commodities in it, some dashimi, whatever.
It has to be local, because if it's not local, you know the Barbados Agricultural Society may very well get on the ear and blast with the important and local things. I haven't had the prerequisite to listen into the discussion for its entirety, but there are a couple of points I would like to make based on the discussion, based on the parts I've heard. Obviously, I'm not speaking from the perspective of anything regarding politics, because, you know, I'm just a drop of sand in this vast political wilderness. I don't really know anything about politics. But a couple of points. I heard one of the callers mention that, you know, agriculture through competition as a meaningful approach as well. And while I could endorse it because it's a move towards a free market and competition leading to lower prices for the consumers, also I want them to reflect on agriculture through cooperation. And we can go as basic as back in 1973, the original Treaty of Chagaramas, Article 40, Section 2. Which speaks to member states seeking to establish regimes for harmonization of fiscal incentives on agriculture. And that is something that I think was missing from the discussion. A lot of the discussion was very inward-looking. What can Barbados do in Barbados to stave off the impact of any deficiencies in the agricultural sector? But it was never with the view to having a more regionalized approach. You know, a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity, and many of the countries and companies had the opportunity to invest in territories such as Guyana and actually take advantage of the prospects of renting or, of leasing certain lots of land to put certain commodities. it wasn't taken with the type of thrust that was anticipated. In fact, one may argue that it was a reversal in terms of the approach, because we saw a couple of years after, through another local organization, persons basically bashing the import of things like coconut water from our neighbors, who we flocked to many decades ago, if I must mention that. So I'm just saying that to say that the agricultural policy that we look at, and we do have a common agricultural policy under CARICOM, should be more broad-based and outward-looking rather than inside and thinking about how many key fields they could preserve in Barbados. It's really a real old-time-ish perspective, for lack of a better explanation. I also wanted to commend another caller who said that we could utilize the modern technologies as well. I think it was yourself. It wasn't the caller. And you were talking about drones. So usually when persons come into these discussions, they get a bit generalized and broad-based. So let me get a bit specific. So the cost of a drone, basically, roughly, you can get one for roughly $1,500 US, the DJI, which is a really popular drone. The cost of an infrared sensor, the US dollar is $120. And the cost of a weather station, $4,000. What are we going to use the three of these for in terms of agriculture? Many persons outside of Barbados use these drones to do automated flight scheduling. So they get up on mornings, they basically click a button, and the drones go around certain parameters of a field or a number of fields, and they use the infrared sensor to give them information with respect to the development of the crops. So they can detect where there's probably some high levels of overusage of pesticides, where there are a number of pests. And the weather stations, you use that alongside the drone to kind of correlate certain things as well. Because you could understand persons such as yourself, who's often in St. Andrew, might see a lot of rainfall up in there, whereas at the airport, you're getting a different reading. So the usefulness of a weather station is for you to have a more accurate assessment as to what the parameters are in your specific location in Barbados, as opposed to having to rely on the weather news, which is at the airport or the Met office as well. So I'll pause there. I have a number of other things to mention, but I really don't want to drop the conversation too long because you guys have made some wonderful points. I just wanted to add some meat to the matter.
We're glad you add that particular part in relation to the technology. With the time left, we only be able to get responses from the panel. And this whole idea of scientific and technology keeps coming up for the entire discussion, where I see it fixing a number of problems. When you look at the sun, we got the greenhouse, proper greenhouse technology. Water, we got aquaponics, which uses 90% less water. The glut, we got the value added. We got the apps, the vertical agriculture for the land use policies and so on. So I think we've got a lot of solutions.
Water harvesting.
So we look at a lot of solutions throughout the day. What I want to do now at this stage, we can look now to each of the candidates now to kind of give us a wrap up, answer all the questions, speak to the guests on the line, and kind of bring home your point in terms of your party's position on agriculture and where we go from there. As it shall be in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. We go, Mr. Inrar, we are from the Barbados Labour Party.
Well, Corey, I started off by saying that we will look to the use of technology, and so therefore drones will be part of it, obviously. The reality of it all is that we have to move to sustainable agricultural systems in order for us to have a vibrant agricultural sector. I stand firmly on the position that we must look to agriculture in order to move Barbados to a 21st century existence, where we are looking at the benefits in terms of the social benefits that it can bring, the benefits in terms of healthier living, healthier eating, the benefits in terms of economics and the linkages that you can create in terms of agro-processing, linkages in tourism. There could be other spill-offs in terms of textiles as well, if we look to the cotton industry as well, and then the environment in terms of a greener energy systems and using bagasse for biomass. There are several opportunities available to us. The critical thing in all this, though, is education. How do we then move our young people forward in terms of giving them the resources that they need, but at the same time helping people to understand that agriculture is an option in terms of a career solution, and that we now have, as a nation, a wonderful opportunity to move Barbados forward, where agriculture perhaps is taking back its position in terms of our economic sustainability, in terms of how we can reduce our food import bill, in terms of how we can take the pressure off our foreign reserves, how we can get more people empowered, because the Barbados Labour Party's position going forward is that we now have to empower Barbadians in order so that they can participate in a Barbadian existence and be part of the ownership structure of Barbados in terms of economic wealth and otherwise. And so what agriculture for us is one of those areas that we will pay a lot of attention to and make sure that it's not just only talk, even though I recognize upfront that we have to consult, we have to bring the stakeholders on board, we have to look at all that was done before, where we at now, where do we want to be, and how do we get there.
Thank you very much. Indar Weir from the Barbados Labour Party. David Gill from
UPP. If I may borrow from you, Mr. Corey, as it was in the beginning, so it's in the end. It is about delivering a quality product, as would be the case of, let's say, a health. It is bringing the agriculture into the communities. It is about training. It is about using up-to-date techniques, technology, at the cutting edge of science and science discoveries, and therefore making it exciting, making it less back-breaking, allowing people to think that they have, and not only to think, to know that they have a part to play in the country's wealth. So I would say let it be typified by a blend of factors, for example, energy efficiency, green chemistry, cutting-edge technology, which will cause us to achieve a certain degree of self-sufficiency and security, and redounding to the good physical health as well as the good economic health of the nation.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. David Waldron of Solutions Barbados.
Oh, thank you very much, Corey. Solutions Barbados intends to move Barbados to an innovation-based society. We, for agriculture, we want to implement soil testing, food processing, food innovations through new products, utilizing skills at BADC. We also want to encourage bee farming and look heavily at soil health, incorporating plant matter into soil. We also encourage freshwater farming here in Barbados. We believe that we must be excellent at what we do and super efficient at delivering. Solutions Barbados, we are asking Barbadians to give us an opportunity to make Barbados good again, to give Barbados that forward drive and to stop this plunge that we have found ourselves in. We need to recover and regain the leverage that Barbados is known for. We need to get agriculture working again for us. And with new innovations and value-added techniques being engaged, Barbados will do better. And Barbadians will be happier for it. So vote Solutions Barbados and give us that opportunity to make Barbados good again.
Aye. That is Mr. David Waldron from Solutions Barbados. We go over to Mr. Derek Wayne from the Barbados Integrity Movement.
It's been said that the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation.
That's right.
And we understand at the Barbados Integrity Movement that agriculture is the foundation stone on which the wealth of the nation can be rebuilt. That we would move forward with all the various ideas and implementations of projects and techniques and technologies and so on, the development as we have discussed all day today, that these things can be moved forward once we identify the vision on which everybody can address the same issues. We identify the regional partnerships, the social partnerships that can be developed out of the development of the common understanding of where we as a nation and as a region can move forward in a very progressive way, where we can market the Caribbean region and Barbados in particular, because of our particular interests here, as a health and wellness destination for the rest of the world. The Barbados has never been taken to the point of being able to market effectively the things that we have, the values that we have, the products that we have, just in terms of all the resources at our disposal to be utilized fully and effectively. And we at Barbados Integrity Movement intend to identify and develop this platform on which the wealth of the nation can be reestablished. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all the guests. And of course, thank you to my team of Green Vaughn, producer and technical operator, production assistant, Mr. John Stout. I've been your host and moderator and speaker of this house, Corey Lane. Do enjoy the rest of your day and keep it locked to Voice of Barbados. Mm-hmm.